say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to another reflective episode of Hysteria. I don't know why reflective made me laugh, but a reflective episode of Hysteria 51, where we travel back to the year of our Lord, 2016, via November 22nd, 1963, to talk episode 3, the John F. Kennedy assassination. And with me, as always, from parts unknown, Colorado, one Mr. David Flora.
Hello.
Hello. So
the reflection's getting in my eye.
Better than some things you get in your eye, I promise you. We're doing this a little bit differently. So as you guys know, I'm moving. I decided to send Conspiracy Bot back to Chicago because he says he can save us money on packing up the house. So him and Kyle are there doing
that. He also
said that
about car insurance. You see how that turned out.
and just regular insurance. You will never die. Great. I don't need so it's perfect. Yeah, so this was kind of an interesting one. I was like, hey, we're gonna go back to the beginning. We agreed on that, you know, we're looking at everything. And then I brought up JFK and you're like, I have never done an episode on that, and I don't really know anything about it. Not that you don't know, just what, you know, you've gleamed. What'd you say? The osmosis that the cultural zeitgeist.
It's what I've osmosed from society. Yeah. You just kind of grown. I feel like growing up in America, you sort of learn about it here and there.
Yeah. You know? And you learn everyone has an opinion and fuck you if you agree or disagree. If you don't agree, I guess, with their weirdly jaded opinion on this. And, It's a sticky one. I remember John dove really deep into this one because it was in the beginning and he just did not believe the conspiracies were true. And then this one, he's like, son of a bitch, man, I got to go home. And
this is up there with like the moon landing, and just a proper, like straight up Bigfoot.
Yeah, but thing.
I never covered those big topics like that.
Well, I gotta tell you, man, this one's got a lot of potential to be a real conspiracy, and we'll get into the whys. But I was like, great, I didn't give you any notes. I said, don't listen to the original. I just wanted to talk to you about it because it's going to be a little bit different this week, and that's fun. We're talking about the assassination of a president. We're going to have a hoot.
the only other thing I know about it is what that amazing documentary by Stephen King, 11/22/63, taught me. So, and
there you go.
And so I'll be making a lot of James Franco references.
There you
in
go.
Episode.
Like, hey, you want to come back to my trailer and get extra credit? You know, James Franco stuff. A little housekeeping. We are coming to you from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, but really I'm in Tennessee, so that's a total lie at this moment in time. I'm still traveling. As you know, it is. And if you got any weird news you want to get to us, we need some. Weird at hysteria51.com. Send us your voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. Or go to hysteria51.com. You can message us from there. You can click on the microphone, and we can hear your dulcet tones phoneless if you got a microphone. Click the mic. Use your mic. It's a twofer. You got anything that we need to – am I forgetting anything to tell everyone before we go down the oh-so-non-slippery and perfectly normal conversation that is the JFK assassination?
Nope. We're all set.
Hell of a drop in there, Monty. Those broadcast classes are really paying up. I just watched Major League recently again, so I got that in my mind.
So great.
So November 22nd, 2 days before my birthday, though I wasn't alive in 1963, allegedly. That was Dallas. And if you've ever been to Dallas, have you been to Dallas?
I've been to a suburb of Dallas.
Oh, so not like Dallas proper.
I've never been downtown.
You haven't seen the giant, everything. There's a museum. Star. There's the X on the road where JFK was gunned down. Lots of homeless people trying to hand you pamphlets because they know the truth. You get to see the grassy knoll and realize it's just a little bitty strip of grass on the side of the road. Not like, I don't know what I thought a knoll was. That was going to be some rolling hills. No, no, it's not like that.
A knoll is like a little mound, but well, maybe they widened the road or something.
I think it was just that way the whole time because the fence is still there, everything. But all right. So JFK is gunned down in Dallas. Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested and there was a 6.5 millimeter Mannlicher Carcano retrieved from a book depository, and they said, by God, that's him. And everyone kind of knows the I'm a patsy. And he goes into, you know, he gets taken into custody, and everyone's like, oh, well, we got him kind of thing. And
I know shit happened fast then, right?
Right. Well, so, I mean, it's crazy because it's the president is gunned down and the nation went into full mourning. Like, people are freaking out. He's the motorcade rushed to Parkland Memorial Hospital. Kennedy was pronounced dead about 30 minutes after. But I don't mean this disgusting. His head was blown off. You know what I mean? There was brain and stuff. So like that was just getting him there and, you know, having someone doing it. There was other people. Connally was wounded in the attack. He recovered. Johnson was sworn in as president 2 hours and 8 minutes later. That's a very technical time.
On
Air Force One. What's that?
He was on the plane.
On Air Force One at Dallas Love Field. And Kennedy's wife standing next to him, I guess, for, you know, get her out of there and all that stuff. They... It's kind of a poignant because we were doing the lose your own adventure and everyone lost this one incredibly fast. If you remember, they got taken out by the CIA very fast. So we're going to go back to that. But there was a lot of hubbub and what is going to do. And then all of a sudden, as Oswald is being moved, he was fatally shot by a Dallas nightclub operator named Jack Ruby. And Oswald was taken to the Parkland Memorial Hospital, where he soon died. And I'm sure if he hadn't from the bullet, he probably would have magically died anyway. Or maybe that's more of the conspiracy. And Oswald's murder, the decision was overturned in appeal. And Ruby died in prison in 67, awaiting a new trial because he's already sick. And people say that he was into that. So there's a lot of things that most people know. We're not going to get into the heavy part of that. We're talking conspiracy because that's what we did before. And we're going to talk some of the reasons to believe there was a conspiracy. We poo-poo on a lot of stuff here, but by God, we're going down it. So you feel like you at least got the back and to the left understanding of the JFK assassination here.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
No, I've never heard of it. All right, so I've got this list.
Well, I've heard of it from what, Ace Ventura or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where that comes from?
Well, that's from the JFK Oliver Stone movie, where they were like, back and to the left, where they were watching the impact.
Right, but he made fun. Somebody made fun of it in a sketch or a movie.
Yeah, so there's the whole...
Back and to the left.
So he's on the book depository a few stories up. And it's coming towards book depository. He turns and he's shot as he's driving away. So it's to the side of the book depository. We're getting to conspiracies here. We're going to talk a lot of those. And one of the first ones comes from Dr. Malcolm Perry. So him and other medical personnel who operated on JFK stated that the bullet came from the front and they were trained in trauma and bullet wounds. And that's where we get the whole idea of the magic bullet. The people looked at him and said, it came from the front, and they're like, no, it came from the side. Or if it did, it went through this guy and hit a bone and went through his wrist and turned and blah, blah, blah.
I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the magic bullet had to do with his brother later, the Kennedy that got shot.
So this one was like, if it was from the front, they're like talking about how so many, there had to, the conspiracy is that there was more than one bullet fired. Okay.
And that's, and that also ties into the grassy knoll right. angle, right?
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, okay. Or if you want to talk about that, you know, back in, was it Zoolander? You know, Oswald wasn't a model nub, but those two lookers on the grassy knoll sure were. hand models. We're not like you face and body guys or whatever the hell he said. Anyway, you know, if you look at it, there's so many things like it felt like they were grasping to try to make it work. And the thing is, too, Oswald was not a great shot. And that doesn't mean that the sun doesn't shine on a dog's ass some days. You know what I mean? But it's not believed that he could have made three shots in 6.3 seconds that they attribute to him. But there are people that have done the shot and done it. Even experts hired by the Warren Commission couldn't perform the shots at the time. So it is a tough shot. And he had been in, you know, the military. And in Russia quite a bit. And so there's a lot of a making an almost impossible shot when you are under incredible stress. Have you ever shot guns or have you ever done something like that where like you practice, you're like, I got this down. Then you get on the stand, so to speak, and you're like, shit, I am nervous as fuck.
Sure. Yeah. And,
you know, like when you testify in court all the time. You know, against you. I'm innocent. What's that?
I never remember what my lawyer coached me to do.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's part and parcel with, getting in front of people or mm-hmm. actually having to do something when you're supposed to do it, you know?
That's the thing. Like, you know, there is such a thing as muscle memory, but it's a tough thing. And, there's 10 squad cars and media crews showed up at the movie theater to arrest out. He shot him from a book depository and ran to a movie theater. And a worker there had called saying a man entered without buying a ticket. And then you got former government employee E. Howard Hunt states that the operation to kill Kennedy was called the Big Event. And several other former government employees have backed this claim. And that's where a lot of this comes from, is they're saying like, this was an inside job. All right. And he was screaming, I'm a patsy. And you get into his life and it feels like it could be. And there's so many things. And in the original episode, which we will link to in the show notes, we went down a lot of those, you know, was he on a plane afterwards? Was this the real Oswald? Things like that. So this guy, Oswald, was interrogated for 12 hours. Guess what? No recordings were made and almost no notes were taken and what was were destroyed. And Oswald repeatedly asked for a lawyer, but none was ever present. That just feels like, you know, your rights are not danced on, correct? Right? You know, that feels nice.
It feels American.
But then again, you go, man, they think he shot the president. They think. Well, do they think or do they know he didn't and they're just trying to get it to go through? The Lincoln Leno, Jay Leno. The Lincoln limo that Kennedy was shot in was sent to Detroit to be fully refurbished the Monday after the shooting, not sit in a vault somewhere so they can look after it. November 25th, 1963, this was done before any forensics could be done to investigate the car. That just feels right, doesn't it? Hey, man, mm-hmm. Let's get this back. Hey, I know the president died in this, but we got a prom next weekend. We got to get going on this shit. Like, this is just a few that I've gone through. Do these add up to you like as anything, or you're just like, yeah, but you know, he killed
none
the president.
Of it adds up. No.
Right. Like, yeah, like, right.
There's too many weird discrepancies and moving parts for any of this to make any kind of sense.
And there's so many discrepancies because there's so much scrutiny has been put on this. You know what I mean? And, the greatest rifle ever named the Mannlicher Carcano, recovered from the book depository, was swept for prints and had several sets. In fact, at the time, federal law stated that 6 to 12 groves of an imprint of a finger had to be there in relation to a defendant for it to be admissible in court. There was under 6 on Oswald's gun, but they're like, yeah, that'll work for us. So at less than the amount that they could even count as a print, and they're like, yep, those was his, you know, so obviously it had to be. And we're going to get to the more on that gun later and another smoking gun, so to speak, on that. But Kennedy's body was also illegally moved by the Secret Service agents from Parkland Hospital in Dallas to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Even though he was president, it was illegal to move a body before an autopsy was performed. They didn't allow for an autopsy to be carried out in Dallas. They took it to a military installation. Now, that could go either way to me, right? You know, it. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand this, but he's the fucking president. This is ours. I don't know. I've never been around a lot of dead bodies or autopsies, thank God, so I don't know. But, you know, this just is another thing, like, some of these could be mundane, you know, though we don't really have a lot of prints. Yeah, but there's enough to say it's him and he killed the fucking president. We're moving forward, you know, or we're doing this to make it feel that way. I don't know. It's a slippery slope. Elm Street that Kennedy was killed at makes a 120 degree turn. It is against Secret Service motorcade protocol for any street that they make, that they travel to make more than a 90 degree turn. He should never been on that, but they changed it last minute because fun reasons, you know, they needed people at that Dealey Plaza, and spectators at the plaza reported they heard the shots come from the front and right of the president. Here, I said they're shots. So the three that he supposedly shot, but there was said to be more. This explains why his head jerks. Are you ready for it? Back and to the left. The Zapruder film. And this includes police officers who rushed to the grassy knoll looking for shooters because they said that was where the shots came from. And they attested to this, but it was just left out of the official report in a lot of places. Hmm. When you shoot someone, do you try to have a patsy or do you just like wing it and be like, I know I'm going to get off?
I have a patsy when I get up in the morning.
Hey, this is homeless Pete. He'll be tried for all of my murders today. Well, let's go, homeless Pete. Keep a homeless man on your tab, you know. They'll work for minimum wage. It's awesome.
On retainer. That's the
on
retainer.
You know how it goes. We're a few in that we got a lot more. Let's go to break real quick, and I'm gonna rinse out my retainer. We come back. We're gonna talk some more of these alleged conspiracy theories, and I'm gonna talk a. There's a documentary called The Assassination and Mrs. Payne, which is fantastic. It's came out in the last few years and, it just drips more ooze onto the story, so to speak. That's coming up after this on Hysteria 51. If you're a normal human like me, and unlike the Men in Black operative we know as David Flora, then learning a new language can be very difficult. School and textbooks just didn't cut it for me.
Have no fear, humans. There's Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the human language. I mean, language you want to learn.
I think he is slipping.
David, you used to love this. What's the best part about Rosetta Stone for you?
Well, the fact that you don't have to prove yourself to be a human to use it helps. And I love the layout. The app, I use the app. The app's really great to use. It's easy to get around, which a lot of these apps are pretty clunky. Not this one. This one's pretty good.
That is actually really awesome about it. And I love that Rosetta Stone has been trusted and is the trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. And it works fast. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language that you're studying. That makes it convenient, it works great, and it's an amazing value.
That's right. Don't put off learning that human language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners and other humans can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Half off. Mm. Visit rosettastone.com/today, T-O-D-A-Y.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 human language. See, you got me doing it. That's 25 human language courses for the rest of your unnatural life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Brent,
Do you think you could get away with a murder?
I tell you what, I watch a lot of Dateline, and like we have Pluto on our TV, and when I'm bored, I'll just watch Dateline or Forensic Files. Man, it seems like anymore, it's hard as hell to get away with things. I tell you what, though, we were watching one, and this guy went to a bar with his wife, and he didn't see her for almost 3 hours, and then finally he's like, oh, she's not here, and he called the authorities. And they're like, you waited 3 hours to find your wife? And he's like, yeah, she goes and talks to people all the time. And they're like, that's not normal. And Lisa looks at me, who we go to like our local place, and she's gone for hours at a time sometime talking to other people. And she's like, you're going to jail. Like, right? 3 hours. I'm like, man, this has been a really nice visit here.
I always heard that they don't give a shit if it hasn't been like 24 or 48 hours.
Totally untrue. That is a movie trope.
Huh.
They said that, or just lazy investigations, but that's not how they do it, supposedly. So, you know, untrue. And people wait sometimes because of that. And it's not the way it is.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, you're like, and keep going. I'm writing all this down.
And one more thing. When you decide to kill a president, what do you think the best way to do it is?
We're working on those audio drops we're going to be using for your resume. Were you going somewhere with that? I'm sorry. I was
going to say, how do you think would be the best way to do it to not get caught?
I mean, this sounds terrible. I feel like you could just like accidentally bump into our current president. He'd fall over and die, which is terrible. Like, you don't even need a weapon. But man, I don't know how you would get away with ever killing someone of that kind of magnitude. You know what I mean? Like, or if you're
I do wonder how tight security is. You know, they say it's tight. You have this impression, but
how
much
of
that is a facade?
Weird at hysteria51.com. David Flora is looking for holes in the Secret Service's security for no real reason. But you can also leave a voicemail, like we said. So there is the Zapruder film, which is the famous film. You know, there's the babushka lady that they've never been able to identify, but everyone else in this film, they know who they are. And acoustic and tests on that, psychological tests performed in recent years on recordings of the film of Oswald, like looking at his recordings of that film and film of Oswald, concluded he was telling the truth when he told the press, I'm a patsy. That also kind of is bullshit, because a lot of that, you know, behavioral crap is not allowed in court. So lie detector tests aren't allowed in court. People go, well, yeah, he was leaning back when he said that, so obviously he was relaxed and telling the truth. You know, he shifted his left hand, which means that he was born in November. There's so much weird crap to that. Early in his life, though, his tonsils were removed, and after Kennedy's assassination, Oswald's body was exhumed, and the body was found to have its tonsils remaining. During the postmortem of his body, several scars his wife checked for were not there, leading her to believe it was not his body. It's a big one. The mortician made notes. She's like, let me see the dick. I'll know right away. The mortician made notes of this in his report, and it was thought that Oswald was a CIA asset. That's what we've kind of been hinting at, and his death might have been faked. There's people that have all sorts of theories on that. And shortly after the assassination of Kennedy, Air Force One Sergeant Robert Vinson landed in Dallas on a plane that he was using to get home, and he said it was weird because it had no call numbers, and the crew did not speak at all. You can just hop planes if you need in the military. The destination was supposed to be Denver, but at 12:29, the pilot announced over the loudspeaker that the president had been shot and the plane headed south. They didn't land a runway, but rather a dirt field that looked like a highway under construction. Two new passengers in beige coveralls boarded, and the plane left for Roswell Air Force Base.
Uh-oh.
And, And Sergeant Robert Vinson, he states that the men, one of them, looked identical to Lee Harvey Oswald, and he feels it was him. The other was Cuban or Latino. And a lot of people said that he had been in Cuba. He was working with the Soviets. And that is a big one, that, you know, no matter what, that's a weird thing to have happened. Shit, the president was gone. We got to get the gardeners out of there. You literally like overalls and shit. I don't know.
So Oswald didn't get shot? That's what they're saying?
They're saying that either the shooting was faked, the nightclub owner had he was dying.
A blank.
So maybe he did that and he took the fall. He had a lot of debts and things like that, and they helped him get out of it. And then they had a body double, or the guy who was killed really wasn't Oswald, you know, but it sounds like, you know, if this one was the case, Oswald, the real Oswald, got out of there real fucking quick.
Weird.
Yeah. The bullet fragments allegedly found in or near JFK's body had no traces of blood or human tissue. The blood, it came out, ejected from his body when he was shot, sprayed backwards. Some even saying the motorcycle cops riding behind the limo got hit with it. It's not saying some did spray. They said they were sprayed with blood. Now, all that is interesting. We get to 1976, and this is something that John and I talked about. In 76, the U.S. House of Representatives had a select committee on assassinations. They established that. And they were privy to some things that we weren't privy to. I'm sure most of it wasn't. But they determined a shot was fired from the grassy knoll and in summary believed, here's a quote, on the basis of evidence available, that President JFK was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. The committee is unable to ID the other gunman or extent of the conspiracy. That's a hell of a fucking comment, isn't it?
And that never gets repeated.
So
like, I've never heard that. I've never even heard that they did this committee.
That's what's fucking crazy. We weren't taught that in school. And this is a House of Representatives Select Committee on Assassinations. And I know that it pushes buttons. A lot of people just go, well, he was killed. It's like a lot of people just want it to be the truth. And, yeah, you know, yeah. But that is a hell of a thing. There was this guy named Joseph Miltier also. He's a KKK member, and he was an outspoken hater of JFK. On November 9th of 63, he was recording saying plans were in the works to shoot JFK from a high window with a high-powered rifle. And he stated the FBI would arrest someone as a scapegoat within hours to throw the public off.
Who said this?
Joseph Miltier, a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, okay. So, you know, right away, believable.
But he said this on November 9th. He submitted this. So before it happened, it's crazy. Those are some big ones. You know, it's one of those just wow. And these are just the high points we talked about before, and you had known it. So I wanted to throw some of these reasons it could be a conspiracy at you to get your feelings, knowing what you knew that he was killed and they caught the guy. And now hearing those, do you think that they're just with that? And assuming now what could be said that they know is true. It's true. Like they were sprayed from behind and, you know, they moved the body and stuff. And then there's other reports that we can't say for sure. Like the guy said he saw Oswald, but we don't know that it was Oswald. If you're doing a 1 to 100 or, you know, a percentage, you know, one is it's exactly what the we believe, which, you know, we is in, you know, Oswald killed him. 100% is it's a conspiracy. Where you fall at right now.
90.
Now, that's pretty crazy, right? Like literally, like I mean
I don't know that I believe even, you know, the stuff that I've heard before and all that stuff. I don't know that I believe Oswald wasn't at best set up.
Right. And you know, JFK was pissing off a lot of people. You know, you got Cuba, you got he's not letting people go in. He's the military didn't like him, Johnson, everything. And it marked like the beginning of a big turbulent period in American history, including political upheaval, escalation of the Vietnam War under President Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it remains one of the literally the most significant and scrutinized events in American history. And that's why we're still talking about it. And it's so scrutinized that things still come out. The people today, a lot better than us, are still debating the true nature of what happened in November of 63. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to, we've talked about this before, and I think it is very much worth, if you haven't listened to, listeners, go back and listen to, we break down a lot of this. We talk about what was going on before and after. I wanted to kind of do a continuation of that because there is a documentary that came out, like I said, The Assassination and Mrs. Payne. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this documentary, and it's pretty interesting. I made some notes, so hopefully I'll summarize it, and I want to tell you about this, David, and we can make our decision because we're the real experts here.
I like it. I also, I'll talk more about the Stephen King documentary.
Yes.
With time travel.
This. Yes, of course. And that was also in Quantum Leap. Speaking of time travel and JFK. All right. So that's coming up after this break on Hysteria 51.
You think that's where Stephen King got his idea?
That's Sam Beckett. He's on to something. I'm telling you right now. Stephen King killed JFK. You heard it here first.
With time.
In time. Yes. Yes. David doesn't even hear David. I just called Joe Peck. Hi. David. Wow. Don't, Joe Peck doesn't even have to be here for us to play some of his drops. I don't know. So go watch this documentary. It's very interesting. It's called The Assassination of Mrs. Payne. And it delves in life of Ruth Payne, another cog in this wheel that I was not aware of. She played a significant role in the lives of Lee Harvey Oswald and his wife, Marina, in the months leading up to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's directed by a guy named Max Good, and it explores the various conspiracy theories and controversies surrounding Ruth Payne and her potential involvement in the assassination plot. And they talked to her. She's still out there. And they,
now?
Yeah, she's still alive, or at least was. Let me look that up. It was at the time of this.
Is she running for president here. Right now?
Right. So she was, let's see here. She's 91 years old.
Nice.
And her house is a museum, if you're interested in going and seeing
it. The answer
to
my question is yes.
It's kind of crazy, right? You know, and
is she the one that he rented a place from?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, okay.
So the that place is now a museum. So
wow.
The documentary provides detailed account of her background, her relationship with the Oswalds, the events that took place before and after the assassination. She was a housewife. She offered to help, Marina Oswald, who was struggling to manage her life in the United States. She was a foreigner. She invited Marina and her children to live with her in Dallas, Texas, while Lee Harvey Oswald stayed rooming, in a rooming house in Dallas. So that was the family was going to be there, but Lee was there all the time. Mm-hmm. She was born into a privileged family with connections to the U.S. intelligence community. Her father worked in the CIA, and her husband, Michael Payne, was an engineer at Bell Helicopter doing defense contracts. And so that's a lot of people immediately go, well, you were steeped in the military industrial complex. She's like, I never worked for them. I didn't. Well, she did. We're going to find out about that. The Payne-Oswald connection. So Ruth met the Oswalds through a mutual acquaintance, and she became, I mean, I guess you would say like a significant person in their lives. She helped his wife with her pregnancy and everyday needs, while Lee Harvey Oswald was trying to get in, to various jobs. He was trying to find his way. And people were like, she'd never done this before or really after, you know? So it was weird that they were like, okay, come on in. On the day of the assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald was at his job at the Texas Book Depository. That's where the fatal shots were fired from, they say. And so the rifle was, quote unquote, stored in the garage, unbeknownst to her. So he's got the rifle there and all this shit. Following the assassination, Payne was extensively questioned by the FBI and the Warren Commission. And she provided crucial information about Oswald's activities, state of mind, which played a significant role in the official narrative. So right now it just sounds like, outside of the whole, her family was in, you know, defense and stuff. Hey, I was nice person, wrong place, wrong time. Holy shit, let me help you.
Yeah.
Nothing at that point in time. So then we're getting to the documentary. It explores the conspiracy theories that suggests that Ruth Payne might have been a covert operative or a plant used to implicate Oswald in the assassination. And there's a lot of arguments and speculations, and they do a pretty good job of it. And she talks as a very matter-of-factual, well, this is what I was doing, and that's what I was doing, and blah, blah, blah. And we got to start off with the CIA and intelligence. So she had family connections to the CIA and her husband's job at a defense contractor. They argued that these connections in it could have facilitated her involvement with the larger plot. Her father was a government operative, and she had at least applied to work in these places before. And she said, well, I never did. And then they're like, well, they found the paperwork. She's like, oh yeah, I forgot, kind of thing. The fact that someone with those ties invited Marina Oswald to live with her just months before the assassination, and the rifle was stored in her garage is incredibly convenient and hard to be mere coincidence. Critics and people that talk about it look at like it could have been orchestrated from the beginning to start the framing process.
So did they, are they saying they picked him, like they targeted him,
so
or
he had
just,
been a,
he just happened
so
to be there and they were like, this guy could work.
So if you want to believe that Oswald was killed and he wasn't the dude on another plane or that was just a lookalike, then he had been in the military and he had been in the Soviet Union, and people, you know, this was a time when they looked down, you know, the idea of communism, you're evil. So they're like, this guy's perfect. We can pin this on him. And they'll look at his past and go, yep, this just makes sense, kind of thing. But, you know, this was, you know, they'd been working on it for a long time, if this is true. And there's inconsistencies in her testimonies. They argue that, you know, she says one thing, she says another, like, and she's changed what she says over the years, and a lot of people say that she's hiding the truth or coached what to say after things have came out. And she's got this calm and cooperative behavior, and this was following the assassination, and she was very willing to help authorities, and people look at that as evidence of her involvement. And they argue that, you know, she should have been more distressed and less accommodating, because this has just happened, and oh my god, this guy that's wife's been with me and he's been staying there too, and the guns in was in my garage, and we're gonna find out papers and stuff were there, and oh, and she's like, yeah, come on in, let me tell you what happened. You know, it's crazy. And they come in and they sweep the house and they don't find anything. Well, then she later comes and they find a paper and it's outlining everything. Oh, I found this, it was in a book, you missed it. And people are like, Jesus Christ, lady. You know what I mean? Like, the yeah, CIA, subtle. The FBI, and everyone didn't find anything. And then afterwards, she goes, oh, yeah, here's him lining out everything he was going to do. Sorry, I found this after you guys were done. So they think maybe she was establishing a relationship with the Oswalds to gain their trust and become part of their lives, you know? And this would allow her to monitor his activities, influence over them. Hey, the book depository is hiring and he's looking for jobs, and help him get a job there. And then literally, because his employment at the book depository ensured that he had access to the building.
Right.
She facilitated that. And she stored the fucking rifle. Rifle stored in the garage without raising suspicion, right? Like, this is, it at least provides a link between Oswald and the weapon that was used in the assassination. He says he never had it. And she's like, oh yeah, here it is, I have pictures of it and shit like that. So he said it wasn't his. And she's like, but here's, we found it in my garage. Here it is.
They found it. When did they find it?
Good question. So the gun was found at the book depository, but that day going to work, he had a package. He said it was curtain rods. And they said, no, that must've been him carrying the gun. She said that it had been in her garage and she had photos. There was photos of it in there. Oh, I just didn't think about it. He was storing it in there. And then she sent letters to Marina there in the stuff that was in there. There's a thick book of household advice in Russian. And the book contained an updated note left by Liefer, his wife, on April 10th of 63, that Marina later testified she concealed. Before the consenting assassination, Dallas police had no suspects in a Walker shooting. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, and he was part of this too, and that, and all this shit. Like, it was just like she, all this shit happened. And then the wife afterwards is like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot he did that. Like she was feeding her information. And because she's like, hey, what else are you going to fucking do? You know what I mean? You know, and she was a Quaker. She ended up becoming a principal of a Quaker school. So just a party ass bitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a weird shit going on. And
I wonder when the photographs were presented.
Well, so some of that she came forward with, I have this information. These letters came back like 8 days later. She was like, oh, I found them. She offered detailed accounts of Oswald's behavior and actions. She shaped the narrative of what Oswald was beforehand. She was the person who did that. She also has maintained innocence and cooperation and to either avoid suspicion or she is not guilty, but, she's always appeared, everyone says, as a helpful and concerned friend. She could deflect any allegations of her involvement easily. She's always just, well, this was going on and that. And that gets still kind of like her public perception. It's divided if you look into her, but I had never really looked into her before because this, I knew she had been talked about, but I was just like, oh man, crazy. I didn't know there was so much.
Yeah, so many connections. Right.
People usually will just view her as an innocent bystander caught in this historic fucking mess. Others see her as an accomplice in a grand conspiracy that she probably thought, this is my civic duty. My father was in this. My husband's in this. I'm helping the government, if that's true.
And you never know what gets conflated. Because stuff like this that's so immense, you know, the implications and the tremors from it.
Right.
It's so big that people will almost manufacture things out of nothing just to have something to latch on to.
And
to make
she's
sense of
always
it.
Talked. She fucking talks in this and like, we have to ask you these things. And there's, if you watch this documentary, there's tons of experts, researchers, people who knew Ruth. They kind of do a pretty good balanced view of the arguments for and against her. You know, and it goes from people like, well, this could all be shit to, yeah, I knew her and that bitch is fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like she's lying, you know? And, she comes off so calm that it's bothersome to me.
When you saw her being calm, is she both young and old?
No, so it's all the old. Interviews? So she's always been calm. She's come off as calm the entire time. The problem was like, did you ever work for or have ties to the government anyway? No. What about what your husband did? Oh, well, there's that. Yeah. What about your father? Oh, okay. What about these times when you, it looks like worked for the government? No. Well, that didn't really count. That kind of stuff. So obviously she's lying, even if it's just by omission. If you look at her testimony, they show a predisposition against Oswald and a real or at least pretend friendliness towards the FBI, you know, and other establishment types because that's what she'd been around. You can't overlook that if you're looking at her case. It has to be remembered that she was inundated in the military industrial complex or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Discipline.
Yeah. And I think a lot of her testimony. That light hasn't been shed on it when people look at it. And she's always expressed her belief in the official report that he acted alone. And she always says that her connection to her and her relatives and Michael Rhodes' and ancestors are holding important government business positions, such as her sister. Her sister, Sylvia Hyde Hoke, was listed as an employee of the CIA at the time, but she denied that. You know, there's shit like that where, like, but what's the truth? There's so much involved in that, that when you look at this and you say, hey, this is a conspiracy, and then this person is the person, I'll help you out, come live with me. It just feels, even if Oswald did do it, it feels like they probably like manipulated him to do it almost.
Yeah, you've got one coincidence, you know, is one thing, but three or four coincidences starts becoming a pattern, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, so
I don't know. It's hard to gauge someone. If you were to say this person's really calm when they answer and cooperative and always has an answer and blah, 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 you know, there's billions of people on this planet. Some of them are going to act like that naturally. Like, she may totally not have anything to do with it and just be a calm and disciplined person. You know, I feel like if I ever got in a situation where I'd be questioned or something like that, people would be like, you're acting weird. And by weird, they mean just not shifty.
Right.
You know? Well, I don't know.
So you look at, like, Oswald, when he was in police custody, and said he never had a lawyer. He called the Payne house twice and says that he talked to Ruth, asking her to contact a lawyer for him. This guy named John Abt, ABT. And Payne is stated that she twice called the phone number that Lee provided. Then they looked at phone call records and they can find no proof that she ever made the calls. They know that Oswald called her. Well, she's like, oh, well, I did make the calls, but they weren't connected. So they don't connect. They're not on the record. No one answered. It rang and rang and rang. I don't know if he had an office or home number, what he gave me.
Convenient.
Yeah. And then Robert Adams of the Texas Employment Commission, they called the Payne house to talk with Oswald about a job referral as a baggage handler at the Trans-Texas Airways, which paid more than the job at the Texas Book Depository. And the guy had called, this was on October 15th, to offer him a job, which paid better. And he spoke to someone at the house, a woman, leaving a message, and he never got it. And Ruth was the only person that would have taken the message. She was the only one that answered. He never got it. So that is, a lot of people go, well, she wanted him to stay at the Texas Book Depository, or, you know, the Book Depository, not go to this Texas Employment Commission based blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Shortly after the shooting, a bunch of law enforcement people came into the house and it's in Irving. And one of them was Deputy Sheriff Buddy Walters. And he stated that Payne said, we've been expecting you. And Officer Rose and all these other, they made several statements. Payne's statement said that she asked them if they had a warrant, to which they replied no, but quickly get one. She let him in. Whereas she says, or they say, she's like, hey, we've been waiting for you. Come on in. Where she's like, yeah. So what was meant by the, we are expecting you, you know? And they asked her, did you say that? And she said, she does not recall saying that, but it's possible I said that, but it's not anything I remember. Say that she and Marina at the time knew shots had been fired from the Book Depository. Because Lee worked there, they might have been of interest to authorities. Not like,
that's not beyond, you know, the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So that's, you know, if you look through Dallas police reports, which are public, law enforcement was watching Payne's house in Texas long before the assassination. And they asked if she was aware of that. And she says, no, I was not aware of that. She had no idea why officers would do so. And then this Dallas deputy sheriff, Roger Craig, testified that right after the shooting of JFK, he saw a man who later identified as Lee Oswald run down the embankment in Dealey Plaza and get into a station wagon. So this leads to the whole, was there more than one? Did he have a lookalike? And later during Oswald's questioning, he was brought up, to which Oswald said that Payne had nothing to do with any of this and to keep her out of it. Payne's vehicle was a 1955 Chevy Bel Air station wagon. So did law enforcement search the car? because all, you know, this guy's saying don't do it and blah, blah, blah. And she said, no, I don't believe they did. Then they, that was it. Like, they didn't even look into it. And she said that she never lent Oswald her car, so that couldn't have been him. But there was a time in the driveway when he started the car before and she came out of the house and I wasn't happy with it. You know, and so there's no way he had my car, you know, and all this stuff.
Weird.
It's just weird. It's very weird. And her husband is linked by researchers to intelligence, like mostly, like I said, because of Bell Helicopter and family background. He is actually related to Ralph Waldo Emerson and Robert Treat Paine, signers of the Declaration of Independence. That's her father. So that's how far back their ties to the government go. And her husband, Michael's father, George Lynn Payne, and mother, Ruth Forbes Payne, were both placed on FBI security indexes because of their affiliations with socialist workers' parties and other groups. And they asked if Michael ever talked to her about her family connections or Oswald, and Ruth said Michael felt Oswald didn't understand, didn't have a clue, and talked as if he were a militant that could change the world, and he didn't understand much about the world. So there's not a lot of direct connection between Payne and CIA, but, you know, who knows? a friend of Ruth Forbes, a friend of Payne, Mary Bancroft, was alleged to be a mistress of former CIA director and Warren Commissioner Alan Dulles. Speaking of fun things. So her friend was fucking the director of the CIA. Wow. And they asked her if she ever met
Dulles, Bancroft. As in the Dulles airport in Dallas.
Yep. So they said, did you ever meet Bancroft?
Dulles in Dallas? Dulles isn't in Dallas, is it?
Dulles, well, it is the Dulles airport. I think it is, right? Are you looking?
I'm looking.
I've never flown into Dallas. I've been there, but I've never flown into it.
No, it's the one in Fairfax, Northern Virginia. So it's the DC one.
So they asked Ruth. She said she'd never met Bancroft. But they have confirmed to her that Bancroft was her friend and Dulles's mistress, you know, so I don't know, you know, it's one of those things.
There's a lot of, he said, she said, and I think this, and I think that in these, you know, as weird as all the coincidences are and so everything,
here's two,
a lot of it's anecdotes.
Well, right. So here's two that aren't. So her sister, Sylvia Hoke, applied for federal employment in 55 and went to work as a personal research technician with the U.S. Air Force. And people say perhaps a CIA cover assignment, they don't know. But in 1971, CIA document from a CIA Office of Security shows that Ruth was identified as a CIA employee in the 1961 issue of Falls Church, Virginia directory. Or her sister was, I'm sorry, not Ruth. And they asked Ruth if she'd ever talked to her sister like that, and Payne said she knew nothing about any CIA connections with her sister. Right. It's just such a fucking mess.
It's probably CIA 101.
Right.
Tell,
like,
your family.
You know, her whole family, her husband's family, everything. And then you're the connection to Oswald. I don't know, man. It's just, I wanted to throw that out there. We're reliving these things, and we've done such a big deep dive, and it's such a dirty feeling subject. But this Ruth Payne thing is definitely worth looking into. And just, if it's not a conspiracy, God, there's a lot of weird things with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you still at 90%? Go ahead. Sorry about that. No, go ahead. Oh. Finish your thing, then I'll ask you.
By now, it's just so convoluted, and there's been so much probably disinformation that's gotten out there that how do you even sort through any of it? You know, it's interesting,
well, like
that
any
they
good
talk
conspiracy,
to this woman.
Like any good conspiracy, you don't sort through it. You just make up your mind, and then that's your truth, and you fight over it in bars and restaurants. It's the American way, my friend.
If you leave the house, yeah.
Right. So you're at 90%. Where are you at right now?
I might have moved up to 92 or so.
You know, she's an interesting bird, and she doesn't do herself any favors by being so willing to talk and flip it, you know, and because she's so willing to talk and more.
Well,
and more
okay.
Things,
so if she refused to talk, would that be any less weird or suspicious?
Right. Yeah. You know, well, Fuse talked about found things that the other people couldn't find hiding in her house, you know, and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
You know, you can go in her, the home is now a museum. Got to make that cheddar.
So part of this, the reason I'm so high in percentage that at least Oswald was, you know, just a cog, as you had put it right earlier, and maybe not the main culprit or whatever, is that I'm pretty sure there's a lot of this kind of shit going around in the 60s for Martin Luther King as well. And then he gets assassinated in 68.
That's the Commission on Assassinations also looked into his and said it was a conspiracy.
And yeah, boom, and that one,
baby, we got a twofer of gross. Well, that's
the
thing,
like
bullshit.
The 60s, it's just everybody kind of men in blacking it and killing, you know, these very influential people.
So was the fight against the fight against communism and stuff so important that they needed to kill a president? And was the stability of the nation so important that they had to kill a minister who was working for equal rights?
No. The second one.
No. The first one.
Well, no. Of course, the answer is no. But like, what I'm getting at is that the second one is right in line with the attitude and culture of the time.
Getting it done no matter what. Hey, we did it once. Let's do it again. Hey, he's got a brother. Let's off that guy too. It was like making this line of power that you can connect Johnson to Nixon, you know, and all this stuff to Bush, Bush one. And it's an interesting thing.
Cause there's the idea that Johnson had a role in this, or maybe even came up or directed.
Well,
some
a lot of people think that he was the guy who came up with it, but they're the guy that was like, yeah, let's do it. And I'll be your guy.
Yeah, because, you know,
if you want Vietnam, I'll get you Vietnam, you know, kind of thing.
They think it's weird that he was sworn in on the plane and just happened to have, what was it, the Bible that was to be used or something?
Well, you know, they carry that at all times. Right? You know, like, I don't know, maybe they do. I don't know. But now, the only thing that doesn't strike me as crazy on that is I would think they would want, if he's been declared dead, it's a power move by the U.S. to be like, we have a president. It's ready to go. You know what I mean? To make sure that happens.
Because it's all about appearances.
Right. I don't know that that's as weird to me as could be. But it's just...
There's other stuff I think I've heard with Johnson's involvement.
Man, I'm telling you, when Johnson is involved, bad things usually happen.
Yeah, we need to get all these Johnsons.
Get your Johnson out of here.
Our politics. So, have you seen the James Franco show I was talking about?
No, I'm familiar with. I knew of it, but no, I haven't. So, give me the rundown.
It's based on the Stephen King novel 11/22/63. It's about a guy that he finds this diner in his town that he's living in, and there's like a spot in the space that you can step through and it takes you back in time.
So two questions real quick. Was the diner like always there, or is he like, what the fuck is that?
The diner's there in his time. It's been a year or two since I watched this. It's the diner was always there, but at some points it wasn't.
So was it a magical thing or was it just a diner everyone goes to, like let's go to Denny's and that's a weird spot over there kind of thing, I guess is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I think it's like a closet in there or something.
Okay.
It's inside the diner.
It's the beyond part of Bed Bath and Beyond, you know, so.
Exactly.
Hard to find.
Yeah.
Hard to find, fun to use.
So it's like a pantry, and the owner of the diner knows about it. He's got lung cancer, so he's going to be dead soon. But he tells James Franco to go through this, and then he ends up in 1958.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Same town. And then, you know, he is like, well, shit, if I'm in 1958, yeah, I could stop the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
You know, I know, it, like, he's a, I don't know, a history teacher or something.
Yeah.
Or English teacher. I don't know. He's a teacher, and he knows about all the, so he decides to start trying
to go back
that.
To
anyways.
1889, and he's like, I got to go find a baby and kill it. And he's just killing a baby Hitler. Like, you're going to thank me one day.
Right. We'll see the thing. And that's the fun part of it. You know, in true Stephen King fashion, he eventually, it takes him, he doesn't get it the first time. Like, it takes him multiple times to actually prevent this death, I think, or something.
Oh, wow.
Something
okay.
like that. It's kind of wild.
The assassination.
The assassination, like, he has to, I forget if it, I'm being kind of fuzzy on the
like,
details.
He's
sorry,
like,
but
talking to Oswald that morning and making him late for work, and he still gets shit. Well, fuck.
No,
he
befriends Oswald.
Oh, okay.
He actually goes and befriends Oswald, and there is weird shit going on, and they make it seem like Oswald is not really involved, that he truly is a patsy or was set up.
But there's some guy in the background that looks just like him in several scenes. What the fuck's going on there? I would have befriended Chester Copperpot, but that's just me. I got a different outlook on life. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I won't spoil it too much. But what you want to see as an audience member is, yes, he saves JFK. Well, he ends up doing that, and then he goes back to the future, and let's just say there's some changes.
Ooh.
To the future that he goes
to. When
we
get off here, you're going to have to tell me about them.
But it's very interesting. The show's on Hulu, I think. And I'm not a big James Franco fan, but I think he does a good job in it. It's just a
I'm
very
not a fan
compelling
of James
story.
Franco's
well done.
Personal life, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an episodic thing. I think there's, I don't know, 6 or 8 episodes or something. But
I'm definitely going to watch this, but I don't mind.
I definitely recommend it. It's really well done.
That sounds fantastic. It's
it's cool
I
stuff.
Like those, you know, mini series type stuff like that. One offs.
I think it's better to do that than to try and cram it all into a movie.
So much better.
Know?
And with online streaming, that's the way they've been doing a lot of things. So much
they premiered it on President's Day in 2016.
As you do. Yeah.
So this has been out for almost a decade.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. But yeah, I really recommend at least watching the show, if not reading the Stephen King book. It's nice. It's really good. But the stuff you were talking about was familiar because I had seen it in the
There's
show.
There's probably some of those. And he's with that looker, Ruth Payne. I'm going to figure this out too. I don't know. That's terrible. But anyway, that's our look at JFK, you know, and I wanted to do it a little bit different because the bots weren't here and you weren't really familiar with it. It was fun just to look over. Maybe it was a little information heavy, but it's a fucking, I also didn't want to be like, and then they shot him and his brains came out, waka, 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 you know, you know,
terrible.
I feel terrible. And
forgot to wash my hands.
That's our look back at it. And we got a couple more of these still. We're doing 5 of these look backs at it. And it's a lot of fun just to, you know, not only say have another look at it, but where's the world? Have they found new things on these topics? And that was a big one. And there's
wild.
More coming in the few weeks coming ahead. So like I said, Get those weird news, weird@hysteria51.com, 773-669-7277. Get your stuff into us, and we will see you very soon. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been No Conspiracy Bot.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.